You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Could you whisper in my ear the things you want to feel? I'll give you anything to feel it coming. Do you wake up on your own? I wonder where you are. Is it all your fault? I want to wake up where you are. I won't say anything at all, so I don't cry.
Yesterday, it's 9:07, by the way, here on the West Coast. Mike Musselman joins us, a Marine Corps gunner who actually thought he was a Marine Corps general officer. I don't know how he got that confused in his head, but at some point there was some kind of chicken and egg brain transfer, and it happened. Okay.
Yeah, there was the electrical shock that Duffy described yesterday. Maybe that's what did it. It reset my brain, and then when it reset and rebooted,
That's great. You know what?
That's probably it.
That's probably it. And you could probably claim it. Yeah. I had GOS.
Yeah.
What's that? General Officer Syndrome. What is that? I actually believed I was a general officer. Ask my friends. Ask them how I behaved. I thought I was the general. What? Okay, so anyway, so into the midst of this, okay, and we'll get back to that in a second.
Yeah.
One of our friends, okay, one of the stations in the Ass Clown Network, and I won't say which one, he bombs out into our little text room. How do I find out how to make HME?
Yeah. So, HME is homemade explosives, for those that don't know that. Mm. And so, my reply to this guy was, where do you want to go? Jail? It's up to you. What do you want, jail or prison? Meaning, do you really want to go for the big league? Or do you just want to, like, get rolled up, put in jail, and someone would go, hey, stupid, don't do this again? Which one do you want? The feds? Or do you want county and city?
And the amazing part of the whole thing was, what you got back was, what? What are you talking about? Like, okay.
Yeah, I just want to blow some stuff up on the ranch.
Okay. Just whatever.
I'm the dumbass here. I'm perfectly, man, my apologies.
Exactly. And the best part is, he's not even, so just to round out the story, so you know what the true definition of an ass clown is, and what ass clownery is, he's not even at his home. He's like someplace else. He's going to do this as a favor for somebody.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's how you get in the newspaper. Okay.
Well, how that all went down was they were probably drunk watching Caddyshack when Bill Murray's blowing up the gopher holes, and they're like, "Oh, dude,
if I could only
that'll work." Yeah, that'll work. And then, hey, I hate to, and then our other friend chimed in. I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but that is not in the Ranger Handbook.
I know. I didn't want to say that. I didn't want to even. I just said I'm not going to talk.
Yeah.
I'm not commenting.
There's a lot in the Ranger Handbook, but that's not one thing. That's not one of them.
That's. But you could go on YouTube probably. See, and I didn't want to say that. I didn't want to add.
Then you're an accessory.
Exactly. I'm an accessory.
So when he gets his ass rolled up, they're going to look at his text messages.
Who's this,
and
Mac?
Guess who's coming to your door?
Who's this?
Yeah.
Hey, how did
three badly dressed feds that can't match their suits.
No, they won't be feds. They'll be state guys. They'll be,
they'll be feds, dude. They're going to be ATF dudes.
They'll be
I
Texas.
Guarantee it.
Howdy, I'm a Texas Ranger. Why are you here?
Nope, they won't even. They're going to go straight to ATF, dude.
Did you send this? No. Is this your phone number? No. Well, that's my phone
dude,
number.
They're not going to ask you that.
I got hacked. I got hacked just like that lady on NBC. Who?
And you know what You know what the fun thing about that is, Mac?
Getting hacked?
No, no, no. When those people show up at your door.
Yeah, that's not fun.
No, you know what the fun thing is, though, right?
What?
Because here's our buddy. This is what he would do. Well, I request a lawyer. And they would laugh as you're driving in the car. They're like, well, maybe you understood there's a misunderstanding here. See, normally, yes, when you commit a crime or you've been thought of, a crime has been committed, yes. In all those cases, you would be granted a lawyer. In this case, under the Patriot Act, you're not a criminal. You're a terrorist. And so now you don't get a lawyer. There's no, I'm going to cop the fifth. They're going to put your ass on a board, and they're going to pour water over your face and make you commit to the Kennedy assassination. So, I mean, life just got real at this point when you start playing this game. You don't screw around with, man.
HME. Question. Here's an email. Mac, do you think alcohol had anything to do with that?
Yes. Alcohol is the downfall of all great Marines.
Yes, it is.
In this case, a good Marine.
Yeah, he wasn't great.
Yeah, he's good.
He was solid. He was solid. And yeah, so solid Marine, fuel injected, some buddies who don't really, right, who've never been in the shit like our friend has, and you're going to like, macho up and show them, yeah, let me show you how we do this stuff.
Yeah. Here, I'll show you how to make some meat. We'll get a pot and a wooden spoon.
That is a recipe for bad
Jesus,
shit.
Jesus, man. I can't even believe he said that. And, I mean, it's like I didn't want to even respond. Because once you respond, then, you know, you're in that questioning lineup.
Yeah, but the funny part was, like, so it comes over just as a question. How do you make HME? And so you're sitting, I'm sitting there going about,
okay for you guys.
Yeah, I'm sitting there going about my day, I see message, I look.
What?
Exactly.
That's what I said, dude. I was like, what? And normally I don't respond to that, but like I said, in this case, when the feds come, they're going to look at his tip and go, hey, at least he's got one smart
guy. Yeah,
friend.
At least who's this guy? Yeah. Oh, that's Mike Musselman. Oh, we know Mike. Why didn't you follow his advice? I was drinking. All right, come with us. We got
Caddyshack. Yeah.
We got some documents that you need to sign.
No, they don't. Remember, you don't get those rights, man, when you get rolled up in this group. When you get classified as a homemade terrorist, the Miranda rights don't apply to you. You kind of lose. I think it's the automatic, you get your 13th Amendment rights revoked. I mean,
you go straight to the beat down?
Yeah, dude. I mean, they don't mess around.
Here's an email. Good morning, Mac. Hey, if time permits, would you have the gunner describe for those who don't have military experience what the qualifications of a Marine gunner are? What do they actually do, for example, versus other similar ranks and titles? So, yeah, what is the whole Pinopalian culture about? How do you get into it, and what do they do?
All right, I'll put it all into an analogy. It's kind of like the Knights Templar, the Illuminati, the people that actually run the whole world and make all the decisions. You are 16 years minimum time in service. You have to be a gunnery sergeant in E7, and you have to show some background and employment of all of the, or not all, but just a large majority of all the weapon systems. So now, if your resume said I was a machine gunner and I was a mortarman and I was an assault man, that's great. Your resume should read section leader, platoon sergeant, you know, in these different roles. So you know how to employ. Anybody monkey can shoot the gun. Employing the weapon system is where the money's at. And then training. They look at your training background. Like, you know, times that you were actually stood in front of people and actually trained them. And, I mean, there's a whole different gamut of stuff you look at.
Okay, so time is how many years? Wow.
Minimum 16 years. You have to be in the Marine Corps 16 years.
And rank? Minimum rank?
E7, minimum.
E7? And what other qualifications? So, all right, so I passed those, and what?
Then, you know, that, well, then all the other stuff, no tattoos, no Angie, no legal stuff. Yeah, stupid, huh?
No. Okay, so then, so, but those are the basic qualifications, and then anything else?
Well, there's a whole list of shit, man.
What?
I don't know what it is.
That's what he's asking.
I did this in 2002.
It was only... Oh, that was before you got shocked.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, you know, the shock thing, I don't think you really thought that through. I think you could make a lot more money off the shock thing than you've made.
Yeah?
Yeah, I honestly do.
Well, see, Duffy didn't give me a Purple Heart for it, so...
He rated it.
I know, Duffy was stingy.
he was stingy like that. Although the getting knocked out thing didn't cap until that was a big discussion in the 1st Marine Division. If you're knocked unconscious by an ID, do you rate the Purple Heart?
That was a big discussion.
Yeah, it was like, no, you'll have every asshole like laying down and going to sleep for 15 seconds, or at least till somebody sees them. After the explosion. No, they won't. Yes, they will.
Yeah.
Okay, some of them will.
No, they won't.
I remember that, like, well, don't you have to be wounded to get the Purple Heart? I mean, your body has to be pierced?
I'm a firm believer now that that is a wound.
I wasn't at the time, though.
No, I wasn't either, dude.
Yeah, I was like, that's...
I was dead set against it.
Yeah, I was like, that's bullshit, man. Getting wounded on Iwo Jima? That means you got your shit blasted.
Yeah. I would rather had a gunshot wound through my chest and have to live with that the rest of my life than freaking these headaches.
Well, I don't know. That's just headaches. So, you know, I think it's the electroshock that has altered your molecular structure.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe, like... Now, if an insect would have bit me at that time, then I would have been a superhero. Think about it.
I know,
I
know.
If I had bitten like a cricket, then I would have been Cricket Man for the rest of my life. I could make loud chirping sounds that could be heard all over the world.
Yeah, but you could have... But they would have made you like a badass, like, cricket costume, all black, a big shell on the back, and then with the...
I always picked... Cricket or a grasshopper, because those have never been taken, but, you know, to jump, like to leap. I don't know what crickets are good for, actually, but I know they can jump.
You could make it good like for something. They put, come on, spiders, come on, all of a sudden Spider-Man, he's something.
Everybody, well, Ant-Man, Spider-Man, you know, all those things.
Okay, so... Let's talk about what a gunner does. So, okay, that's how you qualify. What exactly the battalion gunner is a special staff officer, right? And he's an advisor to the battalion commander.
No,
what
no,
is
no,
he?
No, 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 no. See now.
Okay, see
that's
why?
Good.
Why do
yeah,
you? Why did you say no like ten times? Why did you say no 10 times?
I hate that word. You're not an advisor, dude. If I'm advising a battalion commander on how to employ machine guns, fire his ass.
Fire who? The battalion commander?
The battalion commander. If he doesn't know how to employ his mortars and machine guns, come on.
Well, no, I'm not saying advise him how to employ his mortars and machine guns, but you could advise him on training. You could advise
him. That's where you do that. Yeah.
Oh, so you do advise and you were just being an asshole.
No.
Oh.
I don't advise either. Listen, hey, are you asking me a question? Quit interrupting. First of all, when you spell out caps in a text, you're yelling at people. So don't yell at me in caps.
Why did you go? Why did you act like a woman on me right there when you did that? That's something women,
like,
women say. Why are you yelling at me?
Yeah, I don't make who, man. That's one thing that gets my blood blown when people kind of raise their
all voice. All caps. All right.
That too, man.
Oh,
it's like being schooled. Don't take me to school. Don't take me to school. Buck's probably going to send me a text in all caps now.
Is he?
He probably will. Yeah, asshole. So what he does is, here's my two cents on it. And I know there's a book answer. You can look it up, and it gives you the what his roles and responsibilities are. But my answer is this. It's you are a trainer. So you link systems. So you put things together. So, for instance, how do you make the infantryman more capable? You know, and so you're working with staff NCOs and young officers, and what you're doing is, what you should be doing is training them on how to assess and then build training plans to get to them to a certain level and then sustain them. So assessment is the key. You know, how do we assess where we're at? You know, so you build scenarios, you build exercises, you build tests that will test your unit to see if they're capable of doing X. And then if they're not, or they fall short, then you can dissect where their deficiencies are and then build training programs to enhance those deficiencies as a unit, not as individuals, but as a unit, and then get the unit to a certain level of success or degree of accomplishing this exercise or this task. And then how to build a sustainment package where you combine day, assault or defense. You start compiling things on. And then what you're also doing is you're taking systems and you're overlapping them. So how do you make systems better? You know, when you get optics, how do you maximize optics, and how can you use optics in enhancing the gun's fire, adrax and lasers and night vision. And I mean, it's a layering effect. So if you think about it, each system is its own transparency, and we're layering it on top. So it looks like a cohesive, I'm building something I can identify with, you know, it's not just like a freaking blob, you know, sitting on an ink blot on a paper. You're building something that you can identify with. But the neat thing about it is, like I said, you're training the trainer. And what I used to tell young gunners was, you should be always working yourself out of a job. Always. The gunner program is a band-aid for a broken epidemic thing in the Marine Corps. You know, General Gray wanted to bring back.
Why do we have to go here?
Well, because we had the lack of staff NCOs. You know, we created a class of staff NCOs. We broke it up and we went into this diversification. You know, it makes more sense to take a 22 year infantry combat veteran, but when he gets promoted to first sergeant, put him in the air wing. You know, what? Well, it's good for the air wingers because it keeps the air wing grounded. And I can imagine what the air wing would have looked like if we would have never put grunts in there to keep them in line. You know, they would have just been freaking ridiculous. They'd have been doing tail hook every other day. But, you know, yeah, they would have never known what drill is or even put their candies on. They would have started coming. Think about it.
Pajamas.
If the Air Wing would never had infantry guys, they would have started. Today, they'd be in civilian attire working in board shorts on the air flight line.
Yeah. Why? Well,
with beards and long hair.
Yeah, it's hot. Like, all these stupid rules, like, what's the point of it?
Yeah.
Really?
Bro, what's up, bro? Why the negativity, bro? Why are you yelling at me, bro?
Like, and why would I call you sir? I mean, it's like so.
We're bros.
Yeah, it's like we're so. Bros. It's like so yesterday. Like,
yeah.
Come on.
It's like so 19 World War II, man.
And it's so demeaning to me.
It's not like we're at war. Or not,
yeah,
like,
yeah. I don't know what your trip is. Just all this rank thing. Okay. Let me tell you, it's painful. You get guys who've never served in the infantry, and they're 9900s now, right? So you're going to go be a leader. And in theory, it's supposed to work. In practice, it's rough. It's rough. A lot of guys can't do it.
The problem comes into is you get these small. Like I said, I had a first sergeant. He was a great guy. I mean, he was a good human being, great guy. But the problem was, he was like an airframe welder, in the air wing. You know, he was never he never was in charge of anybody. Ever.
Ever?
Even in his shop. Ever. Even ever. When he was a gunny.
Ever?
No, because he was, no. Ever.
Boy.
He never had a group of people that he was, because he was such a, then he was an instructor as a gunny, and it was like, oh, and then he became a first sergeant. He's in there in the grunts. He's like, what do you want this guy to do? What leadership role do you want him to impart?
Well, why did they make him a first sergeant? Why wouldn't they make him?
Because
send him the other way.
The Marine Corps invested $11 million in this guy by now, in all the schools that he had under his belt.
Right.
But for promotion, for him to be promoted to master sergeant, it was such a long wait. So he put in for first sergeant because it was a third of that. He had a better chance of making E-8 as a first sergeant than he would be an E-8 in staying as MOS. Because, you know, there's only like 8 of them in the whole Marine Corps. And you gotta wait till one gets promoted to one of the two master gunnery sergeants or dies.
Well, I mean, like, why do we give
his,
a shit about
his
that?
Funnel if
that,
goes into if, a hypodermic
that's,
needle.
If that's what he's suited for, why do we give a shit about his weight? That's what he's suited for. What are we gonna do? Take him and make him a first sergeant when he's not that guy?
The Marine Corps needs to be fair. Everybody needs to have the opportunity. And where that came into most, that really hit me hard was when I was in Quantico, I was working with Will, Constantine. And we were doing the merger. We were getting ready to merge, the range officers, and I forget their MOS, which was the range officers were chief warrant officers or warrant officers. They heard off the warrant officer.
Gunner.
And they went, no, warrant officer.
I know, just kidding.
And they were the hats, and they ran the rifle ranges. Greatest job in the world, man. I mean, we used to say, golden ticket. Why? Because, think about it. You're a sergeant, 8 years in. You're a PMI. You're a coach, a pistol coach in the Marine Corps, or a rifle coach. You work at a rifle range. You get selected to be a warrant officer. You come back to the rifle range. Now you're in charge of it. A rifle range. So all you do is make sure that everybody gets an allocation to come and shoot, and you go to some meetings and manage some people and write some fitness reports. So a lot of these guys were going there at 8 years, and shit, by the time they were retiring at 20, they had, you know, double MBAs because they were going to school all the time because they never deployed. They were homesteaded forever. They never went anywhere else. They, you know, 20 years at Camp Pendleton, and they were doing great things, and plus they had the title range officer.
Dude.
Then they could put themselves in positions as civilians. So then they became like range officers in charge of installations. So like Camp Pendleton has a civilian range officer that dictates on everything that goes boom or bang at Camp Pendleton. The problem with that is, you get a guy who's been 20 years in the Marine Corps, and the thing he's mastered is pistols and rifles. That's it. He can teach you a pistol and a rifle basic course in a drop of a hat. Boom. That's it. That's his expertise. And now as a civilian, he's the guy telling me how to shoot mortars and cannons and tanks and combined arms.
Exactly.
Yeah.
As it should be. Locked on.
He went to a course that I went to as well. But he's in a position. So we were like, oh, this has got to stop.
Oh, did it?
So Yeah, so we merged. We took the range officer MOS.
And made it the gunner in MOS?
No, so we took their boat spaces, basically, right? Their staff.
Yeah.
Because we went from, like, I think at that time we had, like, 48, 49 gunners in the Marine Corps.
Okay.
We needed space to grow. Because everybody, you know, we needed more gunners.
Right.
Because the deployments are crazy and all this other shit is going on, all these
other
crazy tasks that we're doing. So we needed space. You just can't create. You gotta consume space that's already there, right? So we took those boat spaces, those manpower. But what happened was, what we were going to do was when we took them, the people that were grunts, there were, I think 27 out of the 50 or 60 guys that we took their boat spaces, 27 of them, half of them were former O3s. Some of them left as sergeants, you know, left the infantry and became range officers. So we were going to have a board, convene it, manpower was, and then select the best qualified guys to come over and be gunners.
That makes sense.
And then they'd still have to go through the gunner programs
at CBS, right?
Which is fair.
Yep.
Well, what happened was, okay, so we're in an argument with General Conway at the time, Conrad. And me and Jeff Eby and some other folks were there. And General Conway says,
Eby.
Yeah, he says, this ain't fair.
Huh?
What? When did that ever come in? When has fair ever been? Think about your Marine Corps career. Every time you said, hey, this ain't fair, what was thrown in your face? Okay, now you got to do it 2 days in a row. Is that fair? Okay, I'll shut up. When was it ever fair?
It wasn't. It was supposed to be about the needs of the Marine Corps. Trumped all.
It was fair share, right?
Whatever.
Everybody got their fair share, but everybody put into the pot.
Yeah, no. Anytime somebody said fair, in my opinion, it was always bullshit to sell their idea. You know, it never works out that way.
Joke.
First of all, is somebody going to be a range officer and staying there for 12 years, is that fair? No.
Yeah, no. It's fair if you're in that position.
Right.
Yeah, it's really fair. Yeah. So, Commandant said, no, we've never, here's where, and then me and him, we butted heads, General Conway and I, a couple times. And I thought I was going to get fired, you know, like on the spot. I mean, here's the Commandant of the Marine Corps, man.
Now, what year is this?
This is 2009.
Okay, so this is after you've been shocked, and you have
you have
general officer symptoms. So you actually, by this time, believe that you're a general officer.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
So general says, we've never done this before. We've never done away with an entire MOS and just let them to die on the vine, right? And never gave them an opportunity to go somewhere else. And he says, we've never done that. And I said, no, general, we have. We did it to the Hawk missilemen, and the room goes quiet.
Ooh,
like, because Gunner's correct. He just corrected the comment on the Marine Corps. Ooh. And James Conway shot me a look, like, son of a bitch. So he said, "Well, we're not going to do it this time to these guys." So they took all of them, without a board, without anything. They all went to school. And a lot of them turned out to be really good guys. I mean, great gunners. They carried their weight.
Right.
And they're fantastic gunners. There were a third of that were shitheads. You know, they were like, and the lucky thing about it, and to a man, most of them, I can think maybe two that were weasels, but most of them were like, you know what, I can't do this, I'm gonna retire. And they got out.
Good. That's a good
and
thing.
And they were like, yeah, that's what we should have done. Yeah. There were a couple at the very end where, you know, I was up at headquarters Marine Corps and, you know, it was funny because we always talk a big game, you know, like Marines were like, oh yeah, just do that guy in. Yeah. But then when it comes to actually doing it, it's tough, man.
Right. No, you start dealing, you start dealing with, when I was on the city council, you know, people, everybody's bitching. Oh, the buses are rolling around. There's nobody in them. Cut the bus lines, blah, blah, blah. So we're going to do this, you know, we do this deep dive on the bus lines. We're having a hearing one night. And all these disabled people show up. And they're not coordinated either. You know, this guy named Bobby wheels himself up to the microphone, and he said, I know that you're trying to save the city money, and I understand that, but please don't cut the yellow line, because the reason that I live where I live is because the shelter on my corner is the best shelter in the city. It's the warmest, and it protects you from the wind. And in the winter, you know, in North Dakota, when it's like 15 or 20 below and I have to go out and catch the bus to go to work, it's really, really cold, and I'd rather sit in a shelter than have to sit in my wheelchair in the snow and the wind. And so I know you know, and you're sitting there and you're like, I'm voting for cutting nothing on that goddamn yellow line, I can tell you that. And no, you're right. I mean, you hear those stories and you're like, yeah, and let me tell you, that's a straight up no shitter. Bobby was a great guy. I want to say he suffered from either, I think, muscular dystrophy or something like that, but he worked and supported himself, but he picked where he lived because of it was near the best bus shelter. And you're like, shit.
Yeah.
I ain't changing that. Sorry, man. I'm not voting for shit. Okay. So.
Well, we had a gunner that wasn't going to move. We gave him orders to active duty battalion because he'd never been at the time and was going to deploy.
Oh, man.
So he calls me up and says, hey, man, if I deploy, my wife's going to divorce me. And I'm like, hey, I hate to be the ass, man, but welcome to the club.
Yeah, no,
you know, you have to go to the well at least once with your empty bucket and fill it and come back. Okay. You can't rely on everybody else to be doing it for you.
Yeah.
So
get out,
you know,
then.
How many times,
right? Get out.
Yeah. How many times did my wife tell me that if I was going to go on this last deployment, I was going to get divorced? I lost count. So, you know what? Work, suck it up. And he came back and he said, I just can't do it. I can't lose her. And I said, okay. Well, what I need you to do then is refuse the orders. And he's like, but dude, if I do refuse the orders, I'm done. Yes, I know. How can you do this to me? I said, I didn't do it to you. You did it to yourself.
You joined the Marine Corps, man.
Right. I mean, see, that's that mentality. People were like, why are you doing this to me? I didn't do this to you.
No. But mind you, know, there's that whole, when you come into the Marine Corps, you don't know this, but there's a cottage industry of people that are what's called retired on active duty. And these range guys, I mean, they ran their own
program.
Yeah. They ran their own little businesses. And as long as they ran them right, you know, guys walk into annual meetings, hey, Staff Sergeant, what's up? Nothing. Doing a great job. Haven't heard anything about you. Oh, yes, sir. We're doing everything great here at Wilcox Range. You know, and then they get left alone. Keep it off the radar. Everything's good. And I'm running this thing forever. And you don't realize it. All of a sudden you run into these kind of things, and you're like, holy shit, man. Here's another one. Mac, what is the gunner do in combat? I get the training piece. Okay. What does he do when the battalion deploys,
combat
when the regiment
the best
deploys?
One,
when, yeah, combat is he goes wherever he wants. He does whatever. That's why Mike got involved in all this shit, man. Like, all these stories we tell where Mike's at one end.
Combat is the best.
The only reason, like, it gets in front of me is because something's going wrong and we turn to begin to, like, either run medevacs, shoot artillery, run airstrikes, and Mike's at the other end of all these goddamn things. So Mike essentially has a Visa card in combat. He just swipes it and goes. So what is it like? So how do you
I pack my shit? I call up the unit and I say, hey, I'm coming out to visit. Where can I stay? And they're like, hey, well, you can stay out with Alpha Company or Weapons Company or Fox Company, whatever. And I knew all the battalion commanders, and I knew most of the company commanders. And I knew a lot of the staff and GOs, you know, a lot of the guys. I mean, you've been around a while. And so, you know, like when 2-1 came to town, when Matty Reid had him, I had my buddies, Sven Jensen was down as a company commander, Al Butler was down there, Big Al. You know, so I'd go down there, hang out with those guys, bullshit, go out with their squads, go out their platoons, go on exercises or operations, and kind of see what I was, what I would do is I'd have a better way of like, hey, I've been with these squads and they can't communicate. They're not having this, or what Colonel Finesse said is not getting down to the platoon, you know, and they're like, oh, we're not having any of that, you know, or the intent is not there, or they're not having, they can't get, find the problems, you know, find the problems and solve the problems. And it's a great job because you not sit there and you go around. Dave's guidance was go out and fix problems before I get to know their problems. And,
okay,
and,
you
and Dave told
you
his commander,
saying, you
hey,
saying
well,
it's
see,
a good job is not accurate. It's not a good job. It's one of the best jobs.
It's the best job in the world.
Yeah, it is. And Mike, as I said, okay, so this job, to do it really good, you don't know your you don't know your place in life.
No.
You go where you want to go. You see what you want to see. You say what, you speak what's
I
on
do
your
what
mind.
I want to do.
And so, so you can see how this all gets linked together. Mike gets shocked, right, during a dust storm, and then develops general identification disorder, right? And now he thinks he's a general. He goes everywhere. He says whatever he wants to say. He uses his personality, his sense of humor, and he just goes wherever and runs amok.
Yeah.
Honestly.
But to be honest, like I said, I never, there was only like maybe one time, and that was with meth and stuff, you know, dealing with Camp Bastion, where I had to get in front of Big Dave Furness and go, and it was always fun with him, like, hey, you know what you said about this and this? He's like, yeah. Well, apparently you don't mean shit because they're not doing it.
What?
Well, yeah, I was just up to meth, and that when division says no and but, you know, and he would just go off, and he's like, bullshit. Well, they apparently don't think that we're that important, I guess, down here. So we'll just have to suck it up. We ain't fucking shit up, Gunner. And he'd get on the phone. He'd call the chief of staff up there. You know, it was just always so, so funny, man, with them.
It is. No, but it was – that's so Mike has access to the inner circle. So, you know, you're out. So,
then I, but the cool thing is I could play both sides. Then I could go up to the division and go, you know, man, I don't know. Regiment's pushing back pretty hard, you know. I would, if I were you, I'd, you know, I would just relent on this case and just kind of make it a – hey, one-time type of deal, and tell him, you know, never again. You know, we screwed the pooch. You know, I got it. But, you know, you're right, Gunner.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was great, man.
No, Mike had one of the best jobs. I don't know why I started thinking about this the other day, but Mike had one of the best jobs ever to see everything. For instance, you know, if you just heard the stories that we've talked about, us being on different ends.
Oh, there's
right?
Hundreds of them.
Going up the river with the SEALs, right? Mike talking about spinning around in the center of the Euphrates, minigun blasting everywhere, 3-5 on one bank, the Iraqi army on the other, and him wondering, why am I here? Well, I'm on the other end of that, and he's out there doing that. He tells a funny story about being in a place called Ferris, and the SEAL's going to do a raid and yoke up, or I don't know, some soft guys are going to do a raid.
Yeah, they're going to do an HVI. They're going to take down a high-value individual.
Right? The dude's like 3 blocks from where Mike is, and we ask, hey,
well,
what?
No, we can see his front door to his apartment. We can see. I mean, we know where this guy lives. The platoon has been living there for, you know, the last 3 months, and then these guys get the order, and we ask higher headquarters, like, why don't we just go roll this guy up? We just had tea with them the other day.
Yeah.
and
it goes
like
this.
No.
It goes from 3-5 to me, and I call up the soft guy. Hey, the Marines are like 3 blocks from that. No, we've got a plan. We want to do it. Are you sure? Because I'll just walk down the street and yoke them up, and you don't even have to do anything. No.
Yeah.
No, we're good. We're on it. All right. No, they say they're going to do it. And they have, if Mike has a Visa card, like the soft guys have the mother of all Visa cards. When they pull out their Visa cards, they win.
Yeah, they can cross battle spaces. I couldn't cross battle spaces.
Yeah.
I had to stay within my own battle space.
But the funny part of the story is, Mike, tell them about these guys coming in to Ferris and not being able to find the house.
Oh, so we get word. It's going to be a late night hit, like midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning. And so we get word that the birds are in bomb. So we all get to the roof, because this is always the last to watch, because they're not like during the movie, dude, you know? And if you ever watch, what's the one, the movie where they went after Obama and they did that?
Osama bin Laden?
Zero
Dark Thirty?
What's the movie? Yeah, so Zero Dark Thirty. You know, people watch that movie and they always tell me like, oh, that was so well rehearsed and, you know, and everything. I said, it was never like that. Believe me, I wasn't there, but I can tell you it didn't look like that. There's no freaking way. It never is that way. So for instance, so SEAL team comes in on birds and sets down two chalks down in this area, right? This big open area right in front of us. So we're on nods watching the, you know, night vision devices. So we're watching and we can see all these guys laying. You can see the strobe lights on their head and on their arm and on their legs. I mean, everybody's strobing, you know, special forces guys like strobe lights. So everybody's strobing, and they all kind of huddle in the beginning, and the birds take off. So they're like formulate, they're all in the thing, and they're like looking, and their lasers turn on, you know, so now we know they're active, and they're in the hunt mode. So we're watching, all of a sudden, they go left, which they should have gone right. So they go left, and we're like, and I'll never forget it, man. Like a PFC man couple next to me, and he's watching too, and he's like, sir, they're going the wrong way. And I go, I know, just let them go. Maybe they know something we don't know. So they go and they disappear. And they're all there, and like 15 minutes later they come back in the center and they go right back to where they were at. And you see all these heads, you can tell when their heads are looking around because you can see the lasers and everything. And they're all like searching, man, and lasers are pointing everywhere. You know, and like, okay. So then they're all huddled, and then they go left again. And he's like, sir, they're still going the wrong way. I know. I don't know what's going on now. So I'm talking to the lieutenant downstairs, because that's the platoon fob, and I'm like, hey, call back to the battalion and ask them if they need help. Tell them that the SOC guys are going the wrong way. And so I think we called back to somebody, and it got up to, like, maybe you guys at the division or somebody, and they're like, just stay out of it.
Leave alone.
Right?
Leave them alone.
Leave alone. So they all come back to the center again. And they're like, D-d-d-d. And all of a sudden, and I didn't tell them to do this, like on the next building over me, another PFC Lance Corporal was watching this going, God, these guys are idiots. He takes out his laser off his rifle. And so he's got it on and he's like circling the soft guys with it. You can see the circle like lassoing them. And he's drawing a laser line to the building and circling the door. And he's going back and forth to the door, back and forth to the door. And like, to these guys, you know, and he's drawn a line between the soft guys and to where this door is, where they need to go. So the soft guys actually go down this line, and then they go in there and they do their thing and they kill some guys they don't need to kill, and then they leave with the guys and they take out. Well, next morning we're getting our ass chewed. The soft was pissed that we intervened, and it was like, dude. We would have been there for another hour, have you not? I mean, come on. Why don't you say thank you, be a little embarrassed, choke your pride down.
Oh, you know, and, hey, that's not happening.
Yeah, because, you know, that story's never going to be told. Man, remember that hit when those conventional guys got in and interfered and showed us the right way? And, like, totally were, like, right on spot, brah. And you're like, that never story never comes out. No.
So Mike had like the cornucopia of fun. Go wherever you want to go, do whatever you want to do, and Mike's smart enough to always dress it up.
It wasn't always fun, Mac.
I know, but you had, though, in retrospect, you had one of the best jobs you could have at the regimental or battalion level.
No doubt.
No, I mean, he did. And there's nobody that exploited it as well as Mike did. In the Hall of Fame of Gunners, Mike's the gatekeeper. Yeah, you're coming in, you're not. Okay? for a lot of different reasons. And he again, and I think it all goes back to getting shocked standing next to Duffy White. Hey, I just listened to the Commandant spoke at the Naval War College about current strategy. Listen to this. Did you know this? Okay.
Okay.
We are now.
I probably do.
We are now doing three. we are now doing 3D printing in aluminum and titanium.
Yes.
That's pretty impressive, yay?
Yeah.
That's big shit, man. That's big shit. The Commandant, the speech is, he's funny as hell, too. He says, so, I'm down at the New River, and it's late in the day, and we're supposed to make a stop, but I wasn't really sure I wanted to make it. And then I said, you know, these guys have been waiting for me, so boom, in we go. So they take me to this kid, and he's like, hey, what are you doing? He's like, sir, I'm in charge of 3D printing. Oh, really? Anything new in 3D printing? Well, we got a little problem, sir. Maybe you could help. Well, I'm the Commandant. I hope I can. Well, see this part right here? It costs $11,000. I can print it for 8 cents. But NAVAIR won't let me print it. Miller says, now he had my attention. What? Yeah. See this little switch? It takes this cover to go on that switch. I can print it for 8 cents, but I can't use it because it's not certified by NAVAIR. He goes, print it. Print a bag full, okay? And let other commands know you have it. So he goes through these things, but it's pretty funny. But I didn't know titanium and aluminum. That's, in terms of spare parts and deadline shit, that's big shit, man. Did you know that?
Yeah.
I know you know this. 62% of the Marine Corps is under the age of 25.
Yes.
That's pretty impressive. The room goes quiet. He gets asked a question towards the end, and he gets asked, do you have any leadership advice for the Navy given their problems with collisions at sea? He said, you know, I try to stay out of that business. He said, the only thing I'll tell you that we do, and we like it, we think it's a great investment, not only in our junior officers, but in our force as a whole. We have a thing called the basic school, and officers go to finishing school for 6 months before they even go to their MOS school. And we think, so the minimum you're on active duty between officer candidate school, the basic school, and your MOS school is generally about a year before you stand in front of anybody. We think that's a good thing.
Right.
Yeah, so pretty interesting. And then give me your thoughts on this. Use your GI Bill to pay off your tuition that you've already accumulated.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, so I think that's a broader application of it, but it's, yeah, you can come in and serve in the Marine Corps, and your college debt will be wiped out. Or you can use the maximum of your GI Bill to wipe out your college debt. I think that would be an awesome benefit. It's up there with giving it to you.
It would be kind of a waste, though, I think. I mean, why not use it to go to another school of some sort?
Well, you could do that if you wanted to, but the option, just like the option of giving it to your kids, I think it would be another,
yeah.
You know, because I, in fact, my oldest was talking about this a few years ago. He goes, God, I wish you could use the GI Bill to pay off my college loans. I said, yeah, you can't do that, so don't try.
Right.
He said, I know, it's a good
idea.
Well,
he's making captain pay, isn't he?
Yeah, he is now.
A major pay?
Yeah, captain. Captain Mac. Devil Dog.
Yeah. So he's in the big bucks now, man.
Yeah. Somebody sent me this. Listen to this. Suspected Islamic extremist ricin attack plot foiled in Germany, according to prosecutors. Ricin
is not that. Yeah, it's not that. I mean, it's deadly, yes, but it's not like a nerve agent or something. It's ricin. I think it's something with it. It's not as.
A highly toxic natural occurring lectin, which is a carbohydrate binding protein, for those of you who don't know, produced in the seeds of castor oil plant. Yeah. Highly toxic.
Yeah.
A dose of purified ricin powder, the size of a few grains of table salt, can kill an adult human.
Yeah. So can a speeding car. I mean, come on.
So that's been thwarted in Germany, just so you know. All right, what are you doing today? Anything exciting?
Today, yes, I have No, I have. I'm doing a meeting at the police department.
What are you doing there?
Going through some, just helping, training, and doing some stuff with those guys. Some really, really good guys.
So have you gotten, which police department?
Greenberg.
Nice. The GPD?
The GPD, yes.
Like it. Anything else exciting going on today?
No. Actually, I'm going to go to the grocery store and get some salmon.
Ooh.
You know what I want to make?
What?
I want to make, have you ever had corned beef cabbage rolls?
Never.
They're to die for.
No, they're not. No, they're not. Irish food?
Yeah, they are.
Hey, have you ever heard anybody say this? Hey, let's go and get some good Irish food.
Yeah, actually, I do.
No, you've never heard that in your life, and you know that.
I do, too.
No.
Like shepherd's pie? Dude, nothing beats good shepherd's pie, and you can't tell me that's not true statement.
I don't even know what shepherd's pie is.
Oh, for crying out loud.
What is it?
I'm not even going to go there. Come on. This is like going to upset me.
Why? I don't know. What's shepherd's pie? I don't. Irish food? Come on.
It's like
a joke.
Casserole. It's a casserole.
Okay.
It's an Irish casserole with potatoes on top, and then all the meat and just brown gravy goodness with the vegetables is hidden beneath that layer of the toasted potatoes on top. You crack through it and you scoop it out. Oh, man.
What is it? Is it corned beef?
Yeah, I've had it with corned beef. You can have it with any kind of beef. Ground beef. You can do like a cheap American version of it. But normally it's kind of like a corned beef brisket chopped up with some potatoes, corn, and then a dark gravy. And then you top it with mashed potatoes and you bake it. So it gets that crusty. Oh, dude, it's so good. You would love it, Mac. You really would.
Come on. It doesn't sound very good. It doesn't sound, I mean, like some of the things that you talk about sound really good. Shepherd's pie doesn't sound, come on.
Yeah, shepherd's pie is to die for. So what I want to make is, I want to do some corned beef brisket egg rolls.
What?
Yeah, so take corned beef, shredded corned beef, chop it up, some cabbage with a little bit of corn, and then some seasoning in there, and then roll it into an egg roll, fry it, and then have that crispy egg rolls full of corned beef. That sounds good.
Well, you know what? But by the time you get done doing all your shit to it, yeah. You could arguably make like the sole of a boot taste good. I mean, you're a foodie.
Yeah, thanks for that. I really appreciate that. But I could make a sole of a boot taste good. But no, corned beef. You don't like corned beef?
Sucks. Yeah, it sucks. Straight up sucks.
You're saying that just to get me upset again.
No, I'm not. I'm Irish. Everybody's like, oh, do you like corned beef and cabbage? No and no. And I'm not Irish.
Matt,
je suis
Scottish.
Je suis American. M-A-C is Scottish. Douglas MacArthur, he was Scottish. Michael McNamara, he's American. You want to know how you know
that? How do you know that they didn't drop the Mac?
He was born in America. Because I know where
How do you know they didn't drop it?
Unlike you, I know where my ancestors are from.
Mm.
That's right. That's right. So yeah, that's how that thing works. Corned beef, cabbage.
Blech.
Come on.
Oh, God, it's so good.
Come on. Don't even say it. Mexican food, that's good. Italian food?
That's good, too.
That's good. Okay?
Yeah. But yeah. French food, no. That's not good, unless it's like a baguette. That's the only thing that's good in France.
I'm not a I'm not a fan of French food, but at least you'll see French food restaurants.
Indian food? I love Indian food.
I'm okay with it. It depends on me, for me. Normally, if you like Spanish food, you'll like Indian food. I mean, you like Mexican food, you like Indian food.
There's a great place in Stafford, or north of Stafford, whatever that, Prince William, whatever Prince, in like a little strip mall. It was a little Indian place. It was so good, dude. Oh, the bread, the naan bread. Oh, you can eat it forever.
The But you never, there is not an Irish restaurant on the planet outside of Ireland.
Yes, there is.
Nobody likes their food.
There's a bunch of them in Boston.
Oh, my God. And what do they serve? Guinness? And then steaks?
No.
That's not Irish food.
They serve a lot of Irish food.
I don't think so. I don't think so. It's a tourist.
I think
it's
so.
It's a tourist.
I'm you,
I
hey, no, it's not. It's in a small part of the town. You have to know exactly
where bullshit. Bullshit. The
nope.
Nobody eats
Irish
food.
I'll send
Come
you
on. Stop it. It's just for people to go back to the old sod. They think Boston is the old sod. And then they want to experience Irish culture, so they're going to go in the Blarney Stone. Stop it, man. Just stop it.
Who goes? Okay. That's the tourist.
Yeah. Barney's, the Blarney Stone, that's in Fredericksburg, by the way. Okay?
Yeah.
Something like that. No, the Irish Brigade is a bar in Fredericksburg. Oh, my God.
What was the Marine Corps restaurant place right off of Jefferson Davis Highway? With the old guy, Major...
The Globe and Laurel.
He had shepherd's pie that was good.
And he's a wonderful man, so his probably tasted really good. I'm not going to badmouth him. The Globe and Laurel is a piece of Marine Corps history. And with the advent of the National Museum of the Marine Corps,
yeah,
helps out business a little bit when you got 8 gazillion people coming to your place.
Yeah.
All right. So anything
good
else?
Food.
Anything
right.
else?
No, so, that's it.
All right.
But I'm going to send you the cabbage snitchers, the recipe for the
don't you? Why? Why? When I'm interested in a recipe, I always ask you, yes?
You'll be interested.
I'm not.
Believe me.
Trust me.
I'm you not. Will be.
Okay. All right.
You will be.
All right, Mike. Have a good day.
All right. I'll talk to you later.
There you have it. From Granbury, Texas, Michael Musselman, by way of Minnesota and California, soon to be on his way to Mississippi. That's right. Well, after you get done with Texas. And then he's going to come on and just badmouth the shit out of Texas. I can hardly wait. That'll do it on a Thursday. If you're just joining the program, don't touch that dial. Yeah, no, the Commandant of the Marine Corps gives a great speech, and it's interesting and it's funny. And he kind of gives a once over the world of the Marine Corps, where the Marine Corps is headed and why it's headed in that direction, and then the technology. In fact, he talks about the F-35 and some really interesting stuff about that as well. So, I would tell you, it's also, you could listen to it on a podcast. But if you just want to sit there and listen to it live at work, far be it from me to tell you how to live your life. I'm headed to a funeral. A celebration of life. Yeah. Lorraine Aronson, a wonderful woman, a devoted mom, and always very gracious to me, so... we'll go celebrate her life. Anyway, have a great day. All Marine Radio back tomorrow. Halfway through the first month of our third year. So, yeah. How about that? Email. Why do you hate on Ireland? I don't hate on Ireland. I'm not from Ireland. I'm an American. Je suis American. I'm not like infatuated with the Irish culture. I'm infatuated with the American culture. I am. I'm American. I'm a Native American. I was born here. This is the land of my birth. I don't identify with Ireland, right? It's kind of a nostalgic blah, 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 blah. That's not me. 4th of July, baby, not March 17th. So, with all that said, my Irish friends hate that. When they want to pretend that they're Irish, but they're really not, and they all know it. Yeah. Wearing of the green. How about the wearing of the red, white, and blue? Yeah. They hated me. Anyway, on a Thursday... All Marine Radio is over and out. Have a great afternoon.